God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
And all the time, God is good. Emmanuel. If I were to poll everyone here, under the sound of my voice, should know who Emmanuel is.
Amen.
And know what Emmanuel means. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Emmanuel is, together, God with us. Can you say amen?
Amen?
That many do not acknowledge the God who has come and dwelt among us. Came in a manger, but didn't stay in a manger. But he grew up to be a man. But unlike any other man, this baby who grew up to be a man was and is the God-man. God and man, isn't that true? Who paid the perfect price for your sins and mine. And so indeed, he is Emmanuel. Amen. And we do indeed worship him. He's worthy of worship. No one is worthy of worship but Jesus, because Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to thank our male chorus for that beautiful selection. Resurrection Sister Ruby McClendon. And musical accompaniment by Sister Selania Smith. Amen. We enjoyed it. And it puts our hearts in the spirit to worship the true and living God. Amen. And this is a time that Christians rejoice over. Now, we rejoice every day of the year, 365 days, and leap year 366 days over our Savior. Oh, when we think about his birth, his coming. The world doesn't understand the birth of Jesus, by and large. Those who have not yet embraced him and pardoned their sins, amen? But those of us who know him as personal Savior, we know that he was the God who invaded time and space, that we might have a right to life and life eternal through faith in him. That's good news, isn't it? Coming from a manger. You know, many people today have not embraced Jesus, either by way of ignorance. The Bible speaks of ignorance concerning Christ. Ignorance simply means you don't know. There are a lot of things you may not know. And it may not affect you that much. Isn't that true? Amen. But to not know Christ, oh, that's a terrible thing not to know. Because to not know Christ is not to be a candidate for eternal life. And so many people are ignorant. They just don't know. We have them in our families, neighborhoods, communities, on our jobs, if you're a student in school. But ignorance is dangerous when it comes to the Christ of Christmas. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so many people are just ignorant. They just don't know. Truth be known, I know you won't say it, but we were once what? Until God gave us some what? Knowledge. Can we say thank God for knowledge?
Thank God for knowledge.
Amen. And our response to this knowledge is a message from heaven. Isn't that true? For earth dwellers, time dwellers, that we can receive eternal life and pass from this life to the next in the presence of God through faith in Jesus. And so many are ignorant, just don't know. And in the case of many cults, they are willfully what I would call ignorant. They choose to be ignorant. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And they know that their religion, well, they don't know it because they're ignorant, that there's no salvation in religions that leave out Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so many are intentionally ignorant and intentionally reject Jesus as personal Savior. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And they reject him as God. Cults reject Jesus God. And therefore, they have rejected the Christ of Christmas. Many have rejected the Christ of Christmas. And how sad that is. And so as we look into God's word today, we want to look at for a title, if you're taking notes. The Danger of Leaving Christ Out of Christmas. Well, it's dangerous, isn't it? The danger of leaving Christ out of Christmas. That's dangerous. Many people do that. They X Jesus out, X Christ out. Call it Xmas. There's no Christmas without Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we are thankful that as those who place their faith in Jesus, that we are not in that number, even though we once were. But we've been saved. We've been born again. We've been plucked out of darkness and brought into the marvelous light of Jesus through faith in him. Amen. And so we understand a very clear way that it's a dangerous thing to reject Christ. And so we're going to look at today the danger of leaving Christ out of Christmas. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you all praise and honor and glory. Thank you for all blessings, great and small. And Father, we're thankful for the baby who came in a manger. And Father, we realize that you didn't send your son to remain in a manger or just to grow up to be a man, but to grow up and sacrifice himself for the sins of sinful humanity. And so, Father, we're thankful that we have received Jesus as Savior. And at Christmas time and every other day of the year, we worship and lift up and exalt him, for indeed he's worthy. And so, Father, as we look into your word, we want you to speak to our hearts in a very clear way, that we might come to a greater appreciation and a greater love for the Christ who came as a baby but grew up to be a man to die for our sins. And so, Father, just bless our time as only you're able to do. As always, take the earthen vessel of clay that stands before that people. Meet him in the weakness and frailness once again of human flesh, that once again by the preaching of your word, we might in a clear, fresh way see Jesus. Bless our time. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. We'll use as a sermon text, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 30 and 31. It's a springboard, very serious text. And we'll find that to be true when we get there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30 and 31. We'll talk about the danger of leaving Christ out of Christmas. And most of us can agree that before we came to know Jesus, we thought we had acknowledged Christ because we acknowledged his name, but had not received him in our hearts and the pardon of our sins. Can you say amen? Amen? There's a big difference. We have many who acknowledge them verbally, but have not received him spiritually. And so this text gives a woesome, solemn warning to those who leave Christ out of Christmas. Are we there? And it reads as follows, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30 and 31, our sermon text. For we know him that has said, what? Vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31 is a what? Fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. So all the cults who intentionally reject the Christ of Christmas, and every other person who is ignorant of the knowledge of Jesus, are under serious condemnation, but are not aware of it. That's dangerous, isn't it? Ignorance is dangerous. And so we understand in a very real way that it is God who will one day judge those who rejected his son, the baby who came in a manger. Look what it says in verse 30. It says, for we know him that have said, vengeance is mine. In other words, judgment belongs to the Lord. And he will judge all those who die, rejecting his son as personal savior. And so he said, I will recompense, or I will reward, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You know, God has created all people. Isn't that true? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because everyone is a creation of God. But all those who believe on Jesus are sons and daughters of the living God. Can you say amen? So there's a difference between where we are now and who we are now and who we were before we came to know Christ. We were just one of his creations, headed for condemnation. But now that we come to know Christ, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And at Christmas, we rejoice over that. Isn't that true? Amen. Amen. And so it says it's a fearful thing, verse 31, to fall in the hands of the living God. That simply means to die without Jesus. And so at Christmas time, we let all those know what the season means. Isn't that true? There's a reason for what? The season. And the reason is what? Who? Jesus. The reason is Jesus. Amen. And so many in the world today do not truly know the Christ of Christmas. To them, he is a mystery in a manger. Just a baby who was born, but not the Messiah in a manger. Even Orthodox Jews today, those are Jews who still follow the letter of the law for salvation, reject Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law in himself. Jesus fulfilled the law, isn't that true? Amen. To bring salvation to lost mankind. So Orthodox Jews, those who operate under the letter of the law, not Messianic Jews who received Jesus as personal Savior, they are still looking for that Messiah to come. Yeah. but have rejected the Messiah who has come. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. They don't know that the baby that came in the manger was none other than God and God himself. Isn't that true? He was and is Emmanuel. Isn't that true? Imagine that the Orthodox Jew has rejected their own Messiah. How sorrowful this is for them and every other person born who has rejected the Messiah born in a manger. It is a dangerous thing to leave Christ out of Christmas, because a Christmas without Christ is a life with no hope for time and all eternity. Can you say amen? Yeah. Jesus is Christmas. So for the time that we have, we want to look at three things that would not exist if it were not for the Christ of Christmas. Three things that would not exist if it were not for the Christ of Christmas. Point one, and you can put without Christ at the top or the beginning or the heading or above each point, and it will tell you where we want to go for that particular point of reference. So point one at the top, without Christ. Number one, there would be no salvation. Without the Christ of Christmas, what? There would be no salvation. You see, if you're ignorant, you don't know that. This is going to sound redundant, but if you don't have salvation, you don't know you need salvation. Isn't that, you only understand it when God gives it to you. Isn't that true? In the pardon of your sins. And that's all ignorance is. Not having been given the knowledge of his Son by the Father who is in heaven. It's a gift from God. Amen. And so without Christ, there would be no salvation. Point two, without Christ, number two, there will be no hope for the future. World looks pretty rough, doesn't it? And we wouldn't have any hope if this world was all we had to look for. Can you say amen? Amen. So without Christ, the Christ of Christmas, there would be no hope for the future. And then point three, without Christ, we would never understand the love of God. Amen. Without Christ, we will never understand the love of God. Let's look at our references and see what the Word of God has to say. Number one, point one, without Christ, there would be no salvation. Mankind's greatest need is not power. Many desire power and fame. And many ministries, they have many people, many members. It's not how many members you have, but how many members you have to know Christ. Amen. And so many desire fame and power and fortune, but mankind's greatest need is the cradle that leads to the cross. Can you say amen? Lost mankind by the millions and billions reject the Christ of Christmas and every other day of the year because they refuse to accept him as the Savior, the baby born in a manger who is Christ. The baby who was born in a manger shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross when he grew up to be a man, the God-man, to pay the perfect price for your sins and mine. Isn't that true? And so the Christ of Christmas, to reject the Christ of Christmas is a dangerous thing to do, to reject the Savior, the baby of Christmas, who is Christ, whose precious shed blood was shed on the cross to pay for our sins. Ignorance and a rejection of Christ, the Christ of Christmas, is eternally dangerous, because it leads to eternal condemnation in a place the Bible calls hell. Most people don't like to talk about hell, but it's a reality. But it's only real for those who reject Jesus. So if you hear under the sound of my voice and you accept Christ your personal Savior, irrespective of what's going on in your life, what problems you have and troubles, or whatever the case may be, if you accept Christ as personal Savior, ask him to come in your heart and save you, then you are a candidate for heaven, and you will escape hell and win heaven. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 28 very quickly. Some verses that we've looked at before, but are very powerful concerning the topic of salvation. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 to 28. Are we there? And it reads, and almost all things, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged or purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. No remission means no forgiveness. In other words, in the Old Testament law, there were some minor exceptions to the shedding of blood for purging, for cleansing, sometimes coinage or fine flour or some other items. But it makes it very clear in the second part of this verse that without the shedding of blood, what? Is no remission. Only the shedding of blood can bring remission, and only the shedding of the blood of Christ can bring remission, the forgiveness of sin. Amen? Amen. Verse 23 says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. In other words, in the Old Testament economy with the tabernacle, items were used as a purging of violations of various trespasses. But these things can never take away sin. Isn't that true? Amen. In the temple of the tabernacle, they can never do that. But they were representing a greater spiritual reality. It was like a substitute for the real thing in a temporary system in the Old Testament. Isn't that true? That's why we say the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Isn't that true? They were patterns. And so God accepted these things, the sacrifice of bulls and goats and animals and these things, the shedding of blood of animals, as a prerequisite or that which will one day lead to the perfect sacrifice of his son on the cross. Amen? Amen. But there was really no sacrifice in the animals except they pointed to Christ in the future. And so it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of these things in the heavens should be purified with those things. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And so ultimately a better sacrifice had to come than the bulls and goats of the Old Testament system. Can you say amen? Amen. And that better sacrifice is Jesus. It says in verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. The high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and present a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But that was only a temporary sacrificial system and could not take away sin eternally, but only cover it. Isn't that true? And so it was only pointing to a greater system that will be revealed by God in the New Testament, the sacrifice of his son on the cross of Calvary. But as we know, many have rejected the baby who grew up to be a man to die for our sins on Calvary's cross. And that's a dangerous thing to do, to reject the Christ of Christmas. Can you say amen? Amen. And so those sacrifices that were made in the temple, in the tabernacle, they were just figures of a greater future reality. It says, for Christ is not into the holy places made with hands. In other words, Jesus didn't have to go into a tabernacle to sacrifice himself. He sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary. He didn't have to go into a tabernacle like the Old Testament priests, high priest. He said, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. Isn't that true? His precious shed blood was presented before the Father on our behalf. Amen. So that we could receive life through his death. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often. Now, the high priest had to go into the tabernacle, the temple, once a year. Amen. And offer that sacrifice for sin, that animal sacrifice. But not Christ. Christ only had to offer one sacrifice. And it was good for what? All eternity. Aren't you glad about that? It said, no, yet that he should offer himself often. Jesus didn't have to offer himself every year as a high priest entered to the holy place every year with the blood of others. In other words, the blood of goats and the blood of animals. But a once for all eternal sacrifice that paid the price for our sins once and for all. Amen. It says in verse 26, if that was the case, according to verse 25, verse 26 clarifies, if he had to sacrifice himself often, it said, but for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he only had to sacrifice himself once on Calvary's cross. One all-encompassing, all-inclusive sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that true? And so he appeared once in history, never to have to repeat that process of sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And by believing in him, we receive eternal life because we have accepted the Christ of Christmas. Isn't that true? Amen. And so it says, verse 27, and is appointed to men once to what?
Die.
Adam was told not to eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he ate it and he died physically and spiritually. He didn't die immediately physically. He lived some 900 plus years. But instantly, he did die spiritually. Death in its purest form is separation from God. Isn't that true? It's a spiritual thing. And so it's appointed to all men to die. But after this, what? The judgment. You know, if you're a Christian, you only die once. Amen. Isn't that true? But if not, then you die twice, those who have not embraced Christ, because we have been born again through faith in him. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. You die, if you're an unbeliever, you die physically, and then you die spiritually, eternally, in a place of separation, the Bible calls hell. That's bad news indeed. And so it's appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment seat of Christ for believers. We're not going to be judged for our sins. Our sins were paid for at the cross of Calvary. Can you say amen? But those who died without Christ, they will appear at the white throne judgment, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. And there they will endure the sufferings of eternal condemnation. Not for what they did so much in terms of the sins, when that's on it, but the greatest sin is to reject Jesus. They rejected the Christ of the manger. Amen. So Christ was once offered, verse 28, to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear, what? The second time without sin unto salvation. You see, when Christ comes for us, it's not a sin issue. Amen? Our sins were dealt with at the cross. But we who have come to know Christ as personal Savior, we are going in his presence when he returns to meet us in the air. Isn't that true? And that's a great hope called the rapture of the church. And we talked about that many times. The two comings of Christ. When he first comes, he's coming for his church. Amen. That's the rapture. We get caught up. Could take place right now. We say, amen. Praise God. Come, Jesus. And then he will come again with his church. Amen. When we come back to rule and reign with him in the millennial reign. That's a whole other eschatological topic that time doesn't permit. But so we understand very clearly from these verses that there will be no salvation without Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And there will be no Christmas without Christ. Let's look at our second point. Point two. There will be no hope for the future. There will be no hope for the future without Christ. God has called us to eternal glory through faith in Christ. And Christ, what? Alone. No other. Without the Christ of Christmas, there is no hope of eternal life. Can you say amen? So it is therefore, what? Dangerous to leave Christ out of Christmas. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, very familiar passage of scripture, right next door. Past James, and then you get to 1 Peter. And we look at chapter 5, and we look at verses 6 to 11. Are we there? The world appears to be, to the naked eye, hopeless, doesn't it? When you look around you, it seems like there's no hope. Everywhere you turn, there's no hope, but there's hope in Christ. Isn't that true? Even though there's not hope around you in terms of peace and calm, it often seems to be what? Confusion and chaos. Look at verse 6. We start here. Are we there? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. That's what you have to do before God. You have to humble yourself. No one is perfect, present company included. We still make mistakes. We still do things wrong. Isn't that true? We call sin mistakes, but God called mistakes sin. Amen. Praise God. He reverses that. But he is able to forgive us when we confess our sins. Isn't that true? Verse 7, it says, casting what? All your care upon him. For he what? He cares for you. He cares for us. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of sickness, even in the midst of problems, family issues, all kind of things that can invade our dome of comfort. God is still good and he still cares for us. Amen. Isn't that true? Because he demonstrated it on the cross of Calvary that he cares for us. And so there can be no Christmas without Christ. It's a dangerous thing to leave Christ out of Christmas. Amen. Look at verse 8. It says, be sober, serious, be vigilant, stand fast, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking what? Whom he may devour. He doesn't like those who've embraced Christ. He wants to destroy them. He wants to destroy churches that preach Jesus. Amen.
But greater is he than in us than he is in the world. Can you say amen? Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Those who know Christ and those who name the name of Christ, they're suffering all over the world like affliction. We're not alone here in America, but all those who come to know Jesus, they are suffering in one form or another, but greater is he that is in us, of course, as we stated, than he that is in the world. Isn't that true? And so we may suffer for a season in time, but for all eternity, no more suffering, but peace and joy forever in the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen?
It says, oh, I like this. Verse 10. Every time I look at this verse, I love this. But the God of what? All grace, who has called us into his eternal glory, by who? Christ Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. After that you have suffered a while. Anybody ever suffered?
Anybody know anything about it? Oh, don't tell your story. We'll be here till 9 o'clock tonight. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes we suffer in life. Because this bubble called time is suited for suffering. Isn't that true?
Amen. But greater is the love that we have. Great is the love that we have received through faith in Christ, the Christ of the manger. It says that you have suffered a while, make you what?
Perfect. That means mature. Suffering makes you mature. Suffering makes you trust Jesus more. I know that's right, isn't it? If you say you haven't called on Jesus recently, you haven't been suffering. Amen. I guess the angels is Pastor Williams again.
Amen. Praise God. Save some of the suffering for the members. Save some of the prayers for the members. Amen. Come before the throne of grace on a regular basis. That's what we do as Christians. And God loves to answer our prayers. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It says, you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish you, strengthen you, in other words, empower you, and settle you,
brings you to a place of rest. Isn't that true?
And says to him, what a doxology, be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen. Praise God. And so there will be no hope in time without the Christ of Christmas. And so for that, we say thanks be to God for Jesus. Now we'll close out. It says in our third point,
without Christ,
we will what?
Never understand what?
The love of God. We could hear about it, but we would never have experienced it for ourselves personally. But we know the love of God because we know that love was demonstrated on the cross through that great sacrifice by the baby who came to be a man.
And so we would never understand the love of God. We are only able to love one another when we've come to understand the love of Christ.
That's true, isn't it?
This is why the evil hearts of man are pervaded on the news day and night. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Murders, rapes, violence against adults, violence against children, political confusion, the collapse of economies, broken homes, broken families, marriages, and a list of what? Evil things that take place is what? Endless. Endless. And so we understand that only the love of the Father could compel him to send his beloved Son Jesus to die for sinners worthy of condemnation.
At Christmas, what we know took place is love came in a manger. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Love was in the cradle. That love was a baby, but that baby was God. And it just come to stay in a manger. It didn't just come to stay a baby, but to grow up to pay the perfect price for our sins.
And so we thank God for Jesus. No man has ever seen God except through the Spirit by faith in Christ. The Christ of Christmas. And so we have come to love God through a baby who came at Christmas to die a brutal, violent death for sinners such as you and I. Aren't you glad about it?
Yes.
And so without Christ, we can all agree that there is no Christmas and no love of God displayed on planet Earth. As Christians, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. He is our King and our Lord. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 very quickly. Very powerful passage of scripture makes it very clear about the love of God, where we were and where we are. Look here many times, but worth a fresh reflection. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5.
See if you can find yourself in these verses. Amen. You don't have to say amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 5. Are we there? And look what it says here. And you have he what? Quickened. He quickened us. Birthed us into his family. Why? Because we what? We're dead in trespasses and sin. We were lost and separated from God. Amen. Living as if God did not exist. We were spiritually dead to reality of the God of all creation. And look at verse 2. Where in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the, what? Power of the air, who is none other than the devil himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, those who have not believed Jesus, those who have not accepted the Christ of Christmas, those who leave Christ out of Christmas. And as our title states, it's a dangerous thing, isn't that true? To leave Christ out of Christmas. And we're looking at the danger of leaving Christ out. Look at what it says in verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation. That doesn't mean just talking. That means manner of life. The way we live. We lived as if we didn't know God. Amen. You know why when you don't know Christ, you live as if you don't know God? Because you don't know God. Amen. There's no instruction from his word coming through your spirit to have you live a better life. It's impossible. You can only live a holy life when you come to know the Holy One. Amen. Amen. And so among whom we all had our conversation or way of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, operating according to the fleshly nature, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of what? The mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were under the wrath of God. But now, as we have come to know the babe of the manger, we have now received the love of God. And we now understand what it means to be delivered from sin and to be headed for heaven and escape the condemnations of hell and the wrath of God. Look at verse 4 and 5. But God. Oh, I like the but God. He's what? He's rich in what? Mercy. For his great love. What kind of love? Great love. You know it took great love because it saved us. Amen. Isn't that true? For his great love wherein he has loved us. And God didn't just say he loved us. But through the babe that came in a manger, he demonstrated he loved us. Because he sent heaven's best for earth's worst. Can you say amen? And we can plug our name in there. It says, even when we were dead in sins, that's before we came to know Christ, have he quickened us or made us alive. We've been born again. He quickened us together with Christ. We're now alive in Christ. You only have eternal life through faith in Christ. It says, by what? By grace are you saved. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us eternal life. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve eternal condemnation. And so for that, we say, thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So in conclusion, we have clearly seen in God's word that without Christ, there would be no salvation. There would be no eternal hope. And there will be no demonstration of the love of God to lost mankind. And so this year and every year that will follow it until Christ comes, we thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we will keep Christ in Christmas. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank you all blessings, great and small. Father, we realize it is an eternally dangerous thing to leave out your son, the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we are praying for our family, friends, neighbors, loved ones, those who are ignorant of the Savior, the baby in the manger, the Christ in the cradle, the Messiah who was born. And so our sincere prayer, Father, is for those who know him not, that they might receive him whom they know aright, his life eternal, even the Lord Jesus, before it's eternally too late. And so, Father, may our testimony be a witness to them to embrace Christ in this Christmas season, that they might receive life and life eternal. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen, amen. May we all stand. It appears we're all family here, but we give an invitation. There may be someone here and you never embraced Christ, a part of your sins. You never asked Christ to come in. That's a dangerous thing, as we looked at in God's word. And so we're asking, if you're here on the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus, would you come? As I stated, it looks like we're all family here. But someone may be listening on a website or internet, or whatever the case may be, and you have not yet embraced Christ. All you have to do is ask Christ to come into your heart, the Christ of Christmas, the babe in the cradle, who grew up to be a man, to die for your sins. Ask him to come in your heart, save you from your sins. In a moment of time, he'll do that. He'll save you. You'll be born again. But if you receive Christ in privacy, come back and share it with us publicly. that we might rejoice in your newfound Christian faith. There may be one here.
You don't have a church home, as I stated.
We all appear to be family, but I want to give that appeal out. My vision is not that good too far. Anyone here don't
know Christ, so you don't have a church home? In both regards, is there one?